And unless anybody has any objections, we can go ahead and begin.
Can I play against somebody else? Because I don't... I'm still reminiscing about the last time you spanked me in front of everybody, and I don't like that.
This is the 2020 Sports Trivia Face-Off Invitational Tournament.
That's right. This is the first semifinal of the Sports Trivia Face-Off Invitational Tournament. We have two fantastic guests who both won their first round matchup. We also have the debut of a new co-host in Joe. Joe, how are you? Tell everybody about Joe, please.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for having me on as a co-host. You know what? I thought the podcasting world needed another straight male voice, and I'm glad to be another one that to throw my hat in the ring. Thanks for having me on. Joe, you heard me in the first round against Marcus, didn't do so well, but I will stay an involved member in this tournament, being impartial as I can, but go Steve, go Steve, go Steve.
And the Steve you're referencing is Steve Bonneman. Let's have him introduce himself again, please.
Yeah, this is Steve Bonneman from Raleigh, North Carolina. Work at Campbell University, go Camels. And I'm a librarian there. And yep, I've introduced my fandoms many times on here, but Liverpool, Detroit teams, Carolina teams, Duke, Astros, hate me, hate me, hate me.
Boy, Duke and the Astros, you've really got a couple of ones there that people like to hate.
Well, being an Astros fan and having that be a thing is deeply new. I mean, like in 2017, nobody hated the Astros. Everybody right. was like, yay, the Astros won. You know, they were plucky and cool, you know, and now it's like, oh, great. Yeah. It's okay.
And Marcus, tell us a little bit about yourself, please.
Yeah, Marcus Ellis. I'm in Everett, Washington. Surviving the quarantine swimmingly right now, I guess, and working at Boeing. And I coach high school football during the fall, which, man, with all this going on, I don't know what, you know, that's going to look like whenever this is over. So, yeah, just surviving out here and looking forward to hopefully not getting my ass kicked again.
I mean, you're a wrestling fan, Marcus. You know this booking.
Like, I do.
I beat you last time, which means everyone thinks you're going to win this time because they keep talking about it.
Right. I'm Daniel Bryan. I got it.
Yeah, exactly.
All righty. Well, on that note, let's go over the rules.
Here are the rules for the Sports Trivia Face-Off. Each player will get a chance to answer 5 questions in a category they choose. If they answer correctly, they get 10 points. If not, their opponent can answer on the rebound for 5 points. Twice per game, a player may challenge his opponent to answer a question first for 10 points, but the opponent can answer correctly for 15 points. 2 intermission questions are worth up to 20 points, and we will explain the shootout once we get there.
Marcus, I'm going to give you the duty and the honor of calling the toss of the coin. Would you like heads or would you like tails?
Heads.
Hey, Google, flip a coin.
You got heads.
Heads it is. So, Marcus, you will have your choice of categories to play or pass in the first period. That'll determine what happens in the second period, and whoever is trailing will pick first in the third period. Here we go with the first semifinal. Marcus, your categories are: it was a cover-up, much more obvious cover-ups, or Aaron's cats every time we recorded an episode.
I hate you, Ryan. let's see. I'll go with it was a cover-up.
It was a cover-up. These are 5 questions about scandalous stuff in sports. Number 1, in the final Grand Prix of the 1997 Formula One season, what man was leading Jacques Villeneuve by 1 point in the standings and purposefully rammed into the Canadian racer in an attempt to wreck both cars, ensuring he won the title?
Yeah, all that Formula One that I know and love and watch. Jeez. I'll just say Mario Andretti.
Mario Andretti is incorrect, Steve.
All I've got to go on is this is a person who was a really good Formula One racer in the late 90s. And so I'll just go ahead and say Michael Schumacher and try it.
Michael Schumacher's correct for 5 points. Villeneuve ended up scoring 4 points and winning the season over a disqualified Schumacher. Number two. Back to Marcus. Rachel Uchitel, Jamie Grubbs, Kalika Mokwin, Mindy Lawton, and Holly Sampson are among the many people whose name was closely associated with what person around 2009?
If it helps, I think the first name is pronounced Uchitel, Rachel Uchitel.
Scandal. I mean, I don't even like to say it, but I'm going to say Nassar.
Nassar is incorrect, Steve.
Is it, you didn't say athlete, is it Tiger Woods?
It is Tiger Woods. They were among his many affairs and mistresses. I don't know which one was the Perkins waitress, though. That always struck me that one of them was a waitress at Perkins.
Yeah, all that was going on there was the time frame and the fact they didn't say athletes associated with, you know. But that's right. Parsing, you know, that's all I got. I would have been tempted to say Nassar, too, and hoped it wasn't right. So.
Yeah, that's pretty much all I had to go on there. I said, please don't be right.
Number three, Tommy Burns, known criminally as the Sandman, was responsible for countless murders in the early 90s involving what sport?
Oh, man, super tight. Okay. I'm just going to say soccer.
Soccer is incorrect, Steve.
This doesn't feel like it's American. He said soccer, right? Yeah, mm-hmm. That's kind of where I'm going to. Yeah, I feel like if it had happened here, I would have heard about this, but maybe I'm just wrong. Golf?
Golf is also incorrect. No points awarded. He was involved in murders in horse racing.
Oh.
When horses stopped being profitable for owners, they called him up to make it look like their horses died of colic. He would actually electrocute them, and the horses' deaths would bring in fat insurance checks for their owners.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
Is he dead? Because I wish he was.
I think he should be electrocuted, quite frankly.
Yeah, I mean, it seems reasonable.
Jeez. Yeah.
This is gristly. Thanks, Ryan. This is like, got anything else horrible? Let's see.
Ryan went dark on this category. He definitely did.
He's...
Number four, the 2006 Calciopelli scandal rocked Serie A, the premier Italian soccer league. Four teams were found to have made deals with officials to rig things in their favors. Because of this scandal, what team had their 2005 and 2006 league titles wiped from the record books?
It's a really interesting getting a category that hits everything that I don't know ever.
Yeah.
All things that I don't know. So I'm going to say I don't even have a joke answer at this point. So no, I'm just, no answer.
No answer. Steve, do you have an answer?
Yeah. The recollection I have is that the team got like double relegated or something like that and had to like play back up. I think it's Juventus.
It is Juventus. The 2006 title was given to Internazionale after Serie A handed a 30-point penalty for their involvement in the scandal. Fiorentina, AC Milan, and Lazio were also implicated and docked points. And number five, belonging right in the maturity is overrated category that we've had before, What former Canadian swimming champion was the first president of the World Anti-Doping Agency from its creation in 1999 to 2007?
There you go. Number five is in your Canadian swimming wheelhouse that everyone has.
Yeah, I don't know. Walter Dickhead. I don't know.
Walter Dickhead is incorrect. Steve.
I'm sure that I'm going to be like, oh, that was a Canadian swimmer or something when you say it, but I'm going to give Marcus a shout out back with Poutine McSorry.
Poutine McSorry, also incorrect. The answer is Dick Pound.
That's an amazing name.
He was also part of the commission that looked into systematic Russian doping before and during the Sochi Olympics. Once again, that was Mr. Dick Pound.
Marcus got like shockingly close.
Yeah,
he had the correct.
That's actually amazing.
I'm going to use Walter Dickhead as a name for when I check in.
I'm really mad at myself because he was in the news like three weeks ago, and I saw it, and I should have. That's really irritating. As much as that category was cool, awesome, off to a great start. Morning.
Yeah, his name comes up every now and again where there is a big doping scandal, and then the news reports or like the comedic news reports ever says, "Oh yeah, his name is Dick Pound." Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
You know, you gotta wonder why the guy just doesn't say, "Call me Richard,"
because it's he's owning that.
Yeah. It's called leaning in.
That's a choice. It's called leaning in. Choice. Yeah.
All righty, Steve, we are to you, moving right along from that discussion. You have to choose between much more obvious cover-ups and Aaron's cats every time we recorded an episode.
Much more obvious cover-ups, like what? Jerseys? The Aaron's cats one appeared, I think, in the last round for me, and I didn't take it then, so let's take it now. People who get their face all in the camera, that's what I'm going to...
This is Aaron's Cats. Every time we recorded an episode, these are five questions about things that zoom, zoom, go fast.
Okay.
Number one, the speedsters from France have won the most stages of the Tour de France, as you may guess. They've won 708 stages. What country is second with 471?
I have it down to two countries. This is just ever. I presume there were others before one big name I'm thinking of, so I'm going to go with Spain.
Spain is incorrect, Marcus.
I assume this is excluding old one ball. So I guess I'll just say Italy.
Italy is also incorrect. No points awarded. The answer is Belgium.
I was down to Spain or Belgium. It was either Eddy Merckx or Miguel Indurain, like, you know, his country, and I picked the wrong one.
So. Yep. Number two, what two-time Indy 500 winner was the namesake of a notoriously difficult turbo racing game released for the NES in 1990?
Al Unser Jr. I played that game.
Al Unser Jr. is correct. Due to the console's limitations, curves in the racetrack appear pretty much out of nowhere, making the game extra difficult.
It was tough. I was a big Al Unser Jr. fan at the time, so I was excited about the game, but...
Yeah. I used to try to play the Forza racing games. Man, those are hard.
They are. They're really rewarding when you get good at them, though. Forza 1 was one of my favorite games to just play for a while. It was good.
Mm-hmm. Number three, with what German apparel company did Usain Bolt sign a sponsorship deal with after winning the 200 meters at the 2002 World Junior Championships?
I mean, think of him as a Adidas guy. Is it Adidas?
It is not Adidas. Oh. Marcus?
Is it Puma?
It is Puma for 5-point rebound. Puma founder Rudolf Dassler is the brother of Adolf Dassler, the founder of Adidas. I think that's where the name comes Adolf from. Dassler, Adidas, yeah. Adi, yes. Yeah. I think they even call it Adidas in certain parts of the
Britain,
world.
Britain, they call it Adidas. Adidas. Very ridiculous sounding. You know, they in Australia, they call Nike Nike, right?
No, I didn't know
they
that.
Do. It's very weird.
Fun story. I almost got fired from Adidas because I chased somebody out of the store that stole stuff. And when I came back in, they were like, you know, we could fire you for that. And I said, well, what the hell am I supposed to do? Let somebody steal stuff? And they go, yes. Because what if you tackled that guy and he got hurt and then he sued us? And I was like, okay, great.
Wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, hey, suck it, Adidas.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't right anyway, so I guess, yeah. I guess you got him.
Number four. In what state would you find the famous Darlington Raceway?
South Carolina.
South Carolina is correct. It's home to the annual Southern 500.
Bojangles Southern 500, importantly, if you're a fanboy like me. Not of NASCAR, yes. Of Bojangles, very clear. Uh-huh.
And number five, at the 2016 Davis Cup, what American hit a 157.2 mile an hour serve, the fastest recognized by the ATP?
Well, yeah, I mean, he was still John Isner.
John Isner is correct for another 10 points. Serves of 160 and 163.4 mile an hour have occurred, but are not formally recognized by the ATP. Guys, just as a check, I have the score as 45-5. That takes us to the first intermission. I'm going to give you a franchise, and you need to name the person that has spent the most games in goal for them.
And one of them is in Major League Lacrosse.
Again, I'm going to give you a franchise. You need to name the person that has spent the most games in goal for them. Number one, the New York Rangers. Number two, Real Madrid. Number three, the Chicago Blackhawks. Boo. And number four, the United States men's national soccer team. And while these guys think of that, here is a promo.
If you enjoy the Sports Trivia Face-Off, please consider contributing on Patreon at patreon.com/sportstriviafaceoff. And if you're already a contributor, thanks.
We are back with the answers to given a franchise, naming the person who has spent the most games in goal for them. Marcus, let's start with you, the New York Rangers.
I said Lundqvist.
And Steve?
I said Richter.
It was Henrik Lundqvist, 882 and counting, though I'm not sure if we're actually still counting right now. Well. Steve, to you, Real Madrid.
He played for, he started when he was really, is Iker Casillas.
And Marcus?
I had no clue. And so for all my American Dad fans out there, Ricky Spanish.
All righty. I assume that means something to them. It was Iker Casillas. Number three to Marcus, the Chicago Blackhawks.
I've mentioned several times on this show that I didn't even start watching hockey until probably like 2000, probably 2007, 2008, and still am working on being a better hockey fan. But I just said a name that popped into my head, and I'm not even sure if he played for them. I said Cobbie Boulin.
And Steve?
Well, you can probably appreciate. I mean, I think there's two names because they're both on the, there's two Blackhawks goalies I can think of on the NHL 100. There's Hall and Esposito. I think maybe Esposito played later when there were more games in a season, so I said Tony Esposito.
And the answer is Tony Esposito with 873. And Steve, the United States men's national soccer team.
Tim Howard.
And Marcus?
Tim Howard.
Tim Howard is correct. 5 points to the both of you. Steve picked up 15. Marcus picked up 10. After the first intermission, Steve has 60 points. Marcus has 15. And this is where I turn it over for his debut. The new co-host, Joe.
All right. Thank you very much. Here we go, fellas. I believe Steve has first pick. Your categories are hit good, run bad, tall stick and Espanol, and Ford SUVs.
Okay, Ford SUVs was there before, and that is the Explorer, and I don't know if that means it's these athletes that went to LaSalle, or like these athletes from Columbus, or like these athletes, and so I don't know about that one. Name these Seattle Mariners and, you know, some other group, I don't know. Hit good, run bad sounds pretty baseball-ish. And you said tall stick in Spanish?
Tall stick en Español.
Alta. Palo Alto. Is that what that means? I'll do the hit good, run bad. Hope it's baseball.
All right. Hit good, run bad. I think you're spot on here. 5 questions about designated hitters.
Yeah, man.
Here we go. Question number 1. With a 500 batting average, 6 extra base hits, and 8 RBIs, what man became the first World Series MVP to have played most of the season as a DH, doing so for the Blue Jays in 1993?
Can you give me the numbers again? I think I know it.
You got it. 500 batting average, 6 extra base hits, and 8 RBIs.
Paul Molitor?
It is Paul Molitor. Known for his exceptional hitting, Molitor spent most of his career with the Brewers and also coached the Twins from 2015 to 2018. Well done.
Thanks. I wanted to see if there were any homers, because if there were a lot of homers, it wasn't him. Yeah.
Right, number 2. In 2007, who was the only active player to agree to be interviewed for the Mitchell Report in 2007?
Well, for the Mitchell Report, Jason Giambi?
It is not Jason Giambi. Marcus, you got a chance to steal.
Gosh, so many steroid guys to choose from. I don't think, damn it. I'll say, even though I doubt he did. He's the one that sticks out in my mind as the funniest. Rafael Palmeiro.
It is not Rafael Palmeiro. It is Frank Thomas.
Oh.
Thomas was an advocate for drug testing as early as 1995 before the steroid era of baseball exploded.
Yeah, did not have much to hide, perhaps.
Yeah.
Yeah, now you can buy some of his boner pills on TV.
Monday Night Raw, every freaking commercial break. Unbelievable.
Exactly. And now he's got Doug Flutie, and I can't remember who the other guy is that does it with him. And I'm like, no, Doug Flutie, don't do it.
Are there any late night commercials that aren't for boner pills at this point?
Oh, okay. Real quick. 5 a.m.
Uh-oh.
5 a.m. Comedy Central. Sometimes the TV gets left on, and it's been left on Comedy Central. 5 a.m. every time. It's for adamandeve.com. And so I'm like groggily walking out into my living room, and they're talking about sex toys at 5 a.m. It's very jarring. wakes me up every time. It's so ridiculous. Wow. I'm like, wow. If the TV gets left on, it's just always seems louder than it should be. And I'm like, oh my God, what? What are they talking about?
It wasn't Kevin's Neighbor from a few episodes ago, was it?
Yeah, I'm sure they did. I'm sure they've got several orders put in.
Question number 3 in this round. The Central League of what baseball league, well, notably, does not use a designated hitter?
I'm good. I have it narrowed down to maybe 2. Is it the Japanese Nippon Professional Baseball?
That's what it is. You got it. NPB, Nippon Professional Baseball League, home to the legendary Yomiuri Giants. So you got it spot on.
Cool.
Number 4, what Yankee was the only DH to win World Series MVP and not once play the field at any point that season?
It seems weird that they'd stack him up like that, but Hideki Matsui?
It is Hideki Matsui. Did so in 2009 against my beloved Philadelphia Phillies. Yep.
I didn't think any other DHs won it for them. Mm-hmm. That was part of the reason I was, you know.
I was going through the same thing. I was like,
Shuhorn, I was like, well, yeah, because I didn't think, you know. So.
All right, and cool.
I would have thought Matsui. Yeah, that's interesting because like he definitely was not a bad outfielder, really. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it was all right.
Right.
All right, your last question of the round. Debate supporting the DH rule occurred in 2008 because, of course, it inconvenienced the Yankees. What star pitcher of theirs injured his foot rounding the bases, sparking yet another fruitless debate on the topic?
2008?
2008 is the year.
Yeah, that era. Sabathia?
It is not. Marcus, you have a chance. It's a rebound.
Oh, all right. The baseball abyss that is 2008. Okay. You said 2008?
It is 2008, yes.
Oh, my gosh. Why can't I think right now? What a dick. Okay. Damn it.
You're still back on that pound question.
Yeah. Yeah. What a dick pound. My brain is just empty with that specific time frame. Like, they've always had good pitchers. I can't even name one right now. I'm serious. I can't think of anybody in that time frame. I'm done.
No answer?
No.
All right. Yeah, that's a name I haven't heard in a while. It's Chien-Ming Wang. Wang's five remaining seasons in the MLB were markedly less impressive than before the injury.
I, in a million years, would never have said that name.
No.
Yeah, I don't think I was gonna.
That makes me feel a little bit better.
Yeah, I have not heard that name in a long time. All right, Marcus, your chance now. You have tall stick in Espanol and Ford SUVs.
Tall stick in Espanol.
Tall stick in Espanol. You have five questions about Palo Alto, Stanford's sports. There you go. Question number one. Who has been coaching the women's basketball team at Stanford since 1985?
I guess at this point I have nothing to lose. I'll challenge.
You have been challenged, Steve. What do you got?
Tara Vanderveer.
It is Tara Vanderveer. She led her team to championship wins in 1990 and 92. She's won over 1,000 games as coach for the Cardinal. Big rebound there, or big steal. Well done, Steve.
I'm not super good, but yeah, if she'd only been the coach since 2007 or something, I would have had no idea, but 1985 was very helpful.
Yeah. All right, Marcus, to you, number two. Sandy Tatum won on behalf of Stanford in 1942. And Cameron Wilson did the same in 2014. Who achieved this feat in 1996?
You want to throw in one more name that I don't know? Just because.
Let's see. Dick Pound. Dick Pound. Dick Pound did not do this. Yeah, but you know what? Someone did in 1996 for the Stanford.
1996, Stanford, Tiger Woods.
It is Tiger Woods. He won the NCAA individual men's golf title that year. Well done. Well solved.
You know, speaking of Dick Pound. Oh, I'm sorry. Never mind. I'll just move on from that.
Right, it's funny. We got Tiger Woods twice today. Yeah. Another game I played, we got OJ Simpson twice. Like, we can't stay away from these people, like these lightning rods. It's funny.
All right. Number three. To what fellow running back did Toby Gerhart lose the Heisman Trophy in 2009?
I'm a Pac-12 apologist, and so he can suck it, Mark Ingram.
It is Mark Ingram. He won the
Toby Gerhart should have won that.
Mm-hmm. And number four. In 1942, the Stanford men won the NCAA basketball tournament over the Big Green of what school?
One more time.
Yeah. In 1942, the Stanford men won the NCAA basketball tournament over the Big Green of what school?
Not to be confused with the Mean Green. Oh, gosh. Dartmouth?
It is Dartmouth. They won.
Most surprising NCAA finalist, I think.
Yeah, I was like, I've never heard that in my life.
Yeah.
Oh, geez.
1942 men's basketball, not super well documented.
Ugh, geez. That's just a just a mascot question for me, and that's
really it.
that's a disturbing niche of mine. That's yeah.
Same, yeah.
It's served you well. It served you well this time. And number five. At 18 years of age, who led the Cardinal to an NCAA team tennis championship, as well as winning the singles title that year as well?
Some nerd. I don't know. I have no idea.
Incorrect. Steve, you got a chance to for the rebound.
Is it John McEnroe?
It is John McEnroe. He was recruited after Coach Dick Gould saw him make it through the qualifiers and all the way to Wimbledon semifinals as an amateur before losing to Jimmy Connors.
And then he went to Stanford. That's like the weirdest thing ever.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you got this guy who was like top four at Wimbledon, and he's like, you're playing him in college tennis. not fair.
All right. Score after period number two. We have Steve with 110 and Marcus with 45. Awesome. We're going to jump into the second intermission. Your question is, name the six leaders in rushing yards during the 2010 NFL regular season.
Okay.
Yep, just 2010 NFL regular season. That's it. All right, give them time to work on that and hear something from us.
If you have a question or category suggestion, or you'd like to appear on the Sports Trivia Faceoff, always feel free to send an email to brent@sportstriviafaceoff.com or join the Sports Trivia Faceoff group on Facebook.
That is time. We will get answers from Marcus Riss. Name your six leading rushers in rushing yards during the 2010 NFL regular season.
So, a lot of this is just kind of remembering literally Madden and kind of you go. So when you can't remember the exact yardage or who was the actual leader, you just go, who was good in Madden and in whatever, I guess it would be 11. So I said, Adrian Peterson, Jamal Charles, Chris Johnson, Arian Foster, Frank Gore, LeSean McCoy.
All right. And Steve, you're six.
Yeah, just name some old running backs. I had, I think of the ones you had, I had Peterson, I had Johnson, and I had Foster. And then I had Steven Jackson, Ray Rice, and Maurice Jones-Drew.
All right, I have your answers here. The six leading rushers. I'll go first, number one through six. Number first, the leading rusher with 1,616 yards that year, Arian Foster. Cool. Second with 1,467 was Jamal Charles for the Chiefs.
Very good.
Third was 1,371 for the Falcons. It was Michael Turner, the burner, Michael Turner.
Yeah.
With fourth with 1,364 for the Titans, Chris Johnson. In fifth with 1,324 for the Jaguars, Maurice Jones-Drew.
Sweet.
And rounding out the top six with 1,298 for the Vikings, Adrian Peterson. And by that count, you both got four, so both have 20 points for that round. Well done.
Yeah, those are, man, it's been, that feels like 100 years ago.
Yep.
Seriously.
Like, not one of those guys is on my radar. Adrian Peterson's, like, still around, kind of, yep. Like, or was.
He actually had a really good year last year, which is, I mean, not surprising. Yeah. The guy's a monster. He came back from an ACL tear after 7 months, which is superhuman.
Yeah. Unrealistically good at football, that guy.
And unrealistically good at, being an asshole to his kid.
It's true.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you got to have skills, you know.
I mean, I like to tell the story like he actually ripped a whole tree out of the ground. It wasn't even like a switch. JK, sorry.
Yeah. You could have. It's Adrian Peterson. Like, I wouldn't fully doubt you.
Yeah. All right, that takes us to the third period. Marcus, you get to go first. Your categories are... Let's Get Down to Business, Kleptocracy, or Tom Sawyer?
Tom Sawyer.
Today's Tom Sawyer, mean man. No.
I know, has nothing to do with painted Rush. Fences.
No, you're very close. These are five questions about fencing. No, not necessarily painting.
Wow.
Oh, man.
That was entirely a joke. That's.
I wish you could see my face right now,
Marcus. These are jobs in your wheelhouses here. There's no rep you. There's no rake you won't step on in this game.
Number one in fencing, the lame is what piece of equipment?
The sword.
The sword is incorrect, Steve.
There's not a ton of options. Equipment, you say, right? Is it the mask?
It is not the mask. It is the vest.
Okay.
The modern lames are electronic and provide scoring information. There's a little electronic doomahitchy in the sword, and on the lame, when they make a circuit, then you can tell they've scored a point. Number two, with which fencing weapon can you score by landing a hit?
The sword thing.
Do you have a name for one of the sword things?
The tip, just the tip.
All righty, moving right along to Steve for the rebound.
That's the epee.
The epee is correct for 5 points. Number three, what part of foils and epees come in Visconti, Belgian, and Hungarian varieties, among others?
The mask.
The mask is incorrect, Steve.
Is it the grip?
It is the grip for 5 points. I'm going to call an audible on this question here, this next one. Number four, two bordering nations have the lion's share of Olympic fencing medals with 125 and 118. Hungary, which borders neither of these, is in third place with 87. Name one of those two European nations.
Did I mention I'm bad at geography?
I'm not the best when it comes to European geography.
Oh, balls.
No, we just didn't hear you say it.
The Czech Republic.
Czech Republic is incorrect, Steve.
Is it Italy?
And France is the other one for a 5-point rebound.
Makes sense.
Number five. What 3-word phrase more associated with driving is the decision used in foil and saber fencing to determine who gets the point when both fencers land a hit on one another within 1 second of each other?
Turn left now.
Turn left now is not the correct answer, Steve.
Right of way.
Right of way is correct for another 5-point rebound. And that takes us to Steve. Your categories are Let's Get Down to Business and Kleptocracy.
Kleptocracy is about stealing stuff. Might be about like stolen bases, but it might also be about like trades where somebody got ripped off. Like, and then, like, let's get down to business. Just, I don't know. I mean, kleptocracy appeals to me.
Kleptocracy. These are 5 questions about basketball thieves.
Oh, I like basketball.
Number one, what all-time NBA blocks leader also appears in the list of the 10 NBA players with the most steals, the only person to overlap inside the top 15 on those lists?
It's... my favorite big man of all time, Hakeem Olajuwon.
He is first in blocks and ninth in steals. Kevin Garnett is at the next highest on that list, sitting at number 18 in both blocks and steals. Hakeem Olajuwon is correct.
I lived in Houston during their titles. It was the best. So much fun.
Number two, we had a question on Havlicek stole the ball a while back, and Ryan wrote some beautiful flavor text about the context of that play that I refuse to read because I'm a big jerk. Havlicek stole the ball and deflected it to what Boston shooting guard who ran out the clock to win the game?
Jeez, and it's just, okay. So I got to remember, the problem with Havlicek is he played for 100 years, and he was kind of in two eras. And I don't know if this is early or late Havlicek. So there's maybe one person? And there's maybe another person? No, I mean, I can't say.
Yeah, exactly.
Going first kind of sucks for dialogue. You have to be like...
Yeah.
Like, is it... I mean, it's a black and white clip. So I'm thinking it's early. So that makes it 65 or, you know, 67 or... Sam Jones?
Sam Jones is correct for 10 points.
That was a guess.
Behind Bill Russell's 11, Sam Jones has won the second most NBA titles in history with 10. Number three, Razorbacks alum Alvin Robertson's record 301 steals in the 85-86 season, averaging out to nearly four per game, was achieved when playing with what Western Conference team?
Well, crap. This is a little... Okay. I know Alvin Robertson is a member of the Milwaukee Bucks. And it seems... awfully, I think at one point the Milwaukee Bucks were in the Western Conference. That seems a little Jesus, Ryan. You know what I mean? Like, that just feels. Oof. Did he also play for Denver? Like, I'm trying to think. Yeah, I mean, Eastern Conference Finals were between, because that's the Lakers. Okay, so that was a Lakers-Celtics year, if I'm not mistaken, and they played the Rockets, and that means the Bucks played the Celtics. Okay, so it's not the Bucks. Denver.
Denver is incorrect, Marcus. Okay.
The Kings.
No, the answer is the San Antonio Spurs.
Okay.
Robertson was awarded Defensive Player of the Year honors that season. Number four to Steve, point guards are the most prominent thieves on the court. Apart from Kevin Garnett, whom we named earlier, name either of the two power forwards on the list of the top 50 NBA steal leaders all time.
Top 50? Holy crap. All right. We got to make a list and check it twice. Hold on.
Yeah.
Rodman. Whom do I say, right? There's a few options. It's not KG.
Here's a callback for you. I wouldn't stress too much over it. You're beating the absolute out of me.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I just...
No, I'm giving you... It's all good, man.
Dennis Rodman?
Dennis Rodman is incorrect, Marcus.
Well, that was my answer, and so I didn't even think about it. But I'm just going to say Tim Duncan.
Tim Duncan is also incorrect. At number 11 was Karl Malone, and at number 26 was Charles Barkley.
Go Carl. Dang. Did you know? Man, that's interesting. I did not know that at all.
I would never have guessed Malone. Barkley crossed my mind, but... I did just spend last night watching him against Golden State, 93-94 playoffs, when he had 27 first quarter points. So I was like, oh, no, he just scores.
Yeah, it was so sick on those Suns teams.
Oh, man, those Suns teams were fun.
Yeah, they were. I always hated the Bulls as a Pistons fan, so like I rooted for all of their opponents and never got paid off on that one. But I like that Suns team probably the most out of all of them.
Mm-hmm. And number five, who are the two current NBA players with the most career steals?
Okay. That's the question, right? Both of them?
Uh-huh.
All right. One of them is definitely Chris Paul. I'm 100% sure. And the other one, I have not a single clue. Not really. What about Chris Paul and Andre Iguodala?
That is not a correct answer, Marcus.
I agree with Chris Paul. And I think the other one is LeBron James.
That is a correct answer for 5 points.
Cool.
Well done. Paul is number 8 and LeBron is number 13.
Nice.
That takes us to the shootout. It is 170 for Steve and 70 for Marcus. So, Marcus, you're still within range if you get the hat trick bonus. And after we hear how the shootout works, we'll hear from Joe.
In the shootout, both players take a shot at being the closest to the correct answer of 3 questions. If either player is closer on more questions than the other, they get 20 points. If a player is closer on all 3 questions, they get 50 points. If a player is within 10% of the correct answer on all 3 questions, they are awarded an extra 100-point hat trick bonus.
All right, fellas, here are your shootout questions. Number 1, in years, the current age of Mike Tyson. Next one is, the number of matches Martina Hingis won in her pro singles tennis career. And number 3, the number of career points scored by Karl Malone in his NBA career. All right, while you guys think about that, you'll hear about this.
Planning your own trivia event? Visit the Trivia Night Guy at TriviaNightGuy.com to purchase trivia questions in all categories for an event that will give your audience a challenging and fun night of trivia.
And we are back with our shootout answers. First question was, in years, the current age of Mike Tyson. Marcus, what do you got?
I said 52. I was... I know that he won the heavyweight title when he was 19 or 20, and I feel like the Buster Douglas fight was 1990, 30 years ago, so I said 52.
Okay, and Steve, your answer?
Yeah, I think he was 22 on the Mike Tyson's Punch-Out matchup screen, and I kind of just did some mathy math and got 54. I think maybe he was born in 66 or something like that.
All right, well, you guys surrounded the number. It was 53 years old.
Nice job.
Both within 10% of the correct answer. Well done. Number 2, the number of matches Martina Hingis won in her pro singles tennis career. Steve, what do you have?
750. Like, she played a while. She had a big break, but then she came back and played for a few years. But I also don't, like, I was just kind of thinking of, you know, how many tournaments you play a year. Maybe it's like 20, and then like she probably averaged like 4 wins because she was awesome. So just kind of did some math and got 750, which is just kind of a number I pulled out.
Mm-hmm. All right, and Marcus,
I had no context for this. I had no idea what I was doing, and I said 169.
All right. I agree. This is the toughest one to get in context. The correct number was 548. Cool. Marcus, you were off by 379. Steve, you were closer, off by 202. And the final question, number of career points by Karl Malone in his NBA career. Marcus, what do you got?
Oh, I couldn't figure out if the threshold was 40,000 or 50,000, and I wrestled it in my brain back and forth. I said 50,000, so, and I know he's up there, so I said 49,069.
Nice. And Steve, what do you have?
I said 38,000, which I think is maybe a little – I think upper 30s is where that all lands, though, so that's what I said. So 38,000.
All right. The correct answer was 36,928.
You're only off by 1,000. Is he number 2? Is he number 2 behind Kareem, or is there
– He is number 2, I believe.
Maybe Kareem's got about 38. I don't know. But yeah, it's around there.
Okay. Well, with that, Steve takes 2 out of 3 rounds, 20 points for the shootout win. And we have a final score of 190 for Steve, Marcus 70. Well done, both guys. Yep, Steve, you are an unstoppable machine, I gotta say.
I mean, look, if Marcus had gotten like a football category instead of a fencing category in round three, maybe it would have been like, but that he got a couple of absolutely brutal pulls there.
Yeah,
his scandal round was just hard, and then fencing is fencing. Like, geez, you know, maybe if some people know a little about fencing, but it's not like nobody knows much. Right,
Marcus, you
know?
I feel for you so bad when you made those some of those category selections. Like, oh no, you should have just any others. I'm sorry, dude.
Yeah.
Well, you know,
Tom Sawyer could have been about a ton of stuff, right?
Yeah. I thought it was about white guys, to be completely honest. I thought it was going to be like white guys in the NBA or some like that. I mean, and then when you said fencing, I went, "Oh my God, it's a fencing category."
Even more about white
son
guys.
Son of a bitch. Yeah, the whitest guys.
That's true. One of the best fencers on the last Olympic team for the U.S. was black, but I mean, that's like definitely the exception that proves the rule. The Willie
I wish
T.
I knew
rib,
who he
the,
was.
The Willie T. Ribs of fencing.
Alrighty, so Marcus, unfortunately, you have been eliminated from the contest, but you made the final four, so congratulations to you for that. Steve, you will be recording with us next weekend for the final match against an opponent to be determined. So for Marcus and Steve and Joe, this is Brent. With a special note, I'm sure all of this will still be going on by the time it drops. Social distancing, be safe, wash your hands. I hope the best for everybody that comes out of this and all of your loved ones. So with that, we will see you next time you download.
This has been the Sports Trivia Face-Off. Thank you very much for listening. The Sports Trivia Face-Off is hosted by Brent Bollmeyer. Questions are written by Ryan Clefcorn Myers. And the Sports Trivia Face-Off is recorded, edited, and produced by Brent Bollmeyer.
Well, Steve will appreciate this. So I got it for Christmas, and I have yet to open it, but I opened my first little bit of the bubbly.
Oh, nice.
With Chris Jericho's face on this bottle.
You actually bought that? Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah. I got it for Christmas. My dad got it for Christmas. FYI, I don't actually tell that story. It's just, anyways. All right. So, I don't just casually like, hey, you remember Adrian Peterson?
It's a good icebreaker.
Actually, I guess I should verify with Joe. Joe, did I bring up Adrian Peterson at all? And
I feel like that came up last time.
What?
I think it did.
I cannot believe there was just a whole fencing category. That's old strategy cotton. I mean